Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Words prophesied by Isaiah roughly 700 years before the birth of Christ. Living at the time when the northern kingdom would fall because of their debauchery, because of their chasing after false gods, Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, prophesies that the time will come when those who live in darkness will see the great light and they will follow that light. The time would come to arise and to shine the light of Christ, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Yes, the darkness that covered the earth shall be expelled. When is that time exactly? I think it's fulfilled in a few different times. Yes, Isaiah would write about 700 years before the birth of Christ. And there were wise men throughout the world, largely because of the wisdom that God had granted to Solomon. So many came to hear him in that wisdom. Additionally, if you fast forward a little over 100 years, you'll see that in the Babylonian captivity of the southern kingdom, that in that captivity they brought with them Daniel and the three young men, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And while all four of them were given Babylonian names, they retained the faith. We mostly remember Daniel as the one thrown into the lion's den for not praying to Nebuchadnezzar. We mostly remember Daniel for the writings of those three young men thrown into the fiery furnace, a furnace burning so hot that those who threw them in were consumed in fire and died. And you remember the pre-incarnate Christ walking around in those flames, for he cries out, "I see one with the face as the son of the gods." This is the deliverer, the one who would deliver them. But you should also remember that Daniel was given the same power that Joseph had been given, the power to interpret dreams. And so Daniel is raised up among the wise men of that area, not just looking at the stars that declare the handiwork of God. Daniel received that revelation from God himself. He searched the scriptures and he proclaimed it. Eventually, the kingdom would be taken from Nebuchadnezzar, as it would be taken from Darius. But that land still had the scriptures. After the Babylonian captivity was completed, we see that there is still a remnant that stays over there in Assyria, in Babylon now. And that group, also God raised up from that group, Queen Esther. The same Esther married to Xerxes, the same Xerxes who warred against the Greeks to try to take out all of Greece. God had left behind wise men. Additionally, we see in our Old Testament lesson that men from the surrounding areas would come. Men from Midian, from Sheba. These two would have had some version of that true word. The reason being is those are the sons of Abraham. Through not Sarah, through not Hagar, but through Keturah. Yes, he would marry again, and yes, God would allow him to be fruitful, and those lands were settled by his sons. It was from the tribe of Midian that Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, hailed and was priest. So yes, there were wise men who knew of the promised seed granted to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Men who followed the signs and the seasons, not as heathens do with their horoscopes, but recognizing that all of these things work together to give God the glory. And when the star would appear, they would follow it. They would search the scriptures and they would find that this king was born for them. This is the promised seed, the promised Messiah. And so they come. They come on their camels, and they bring gifts. Likely going through some of those same lands, on their camels, on their dromedaries, they bring gifts. Gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gifts fit for the King of all kings, the prophet, the one greater than Moses, fit for his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Gold is a gift for a king. And Jesus is no ordinary baby. He is king, wrapped up in flesh. He is the eternal Word, the eternal Son, who is now come to save from sin. Incense was a part of the Old Testament worship. God commanded it. In fact, he had them set up an altar to burn incense with their prayers that the Messiah would come. God speaks very clearly about this incense. He says, do not offer it in vain. Do not offer it just to offer it, but do it to my holy name. Do not offer it to the false pagan gods, which are really demons. And God also says in the closing book of our Old Testament, from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations. Jesus was designed not just for the Hebrews, but for all people. Yes, the Hebrews were set apart, and for a time they were granted a place that the fullness of time would come, that Mary, that Blessed Virgin, the woman, would bring forth her son. That son submitted himself to the law for our sake. So it is fitting that they would bring that incense to worship the Lord, to pray to him. And that myrrh, that sweet myrrh, that would often be used in burial. Because after all, that's why that baby came in the first place. He came with the purpose of living a perfect life for all mankind. So wise men worship him. What makes one wise? Is it how many degrees you have or how many letters you have behind your name? Those are all fine things. But true wisdom is granted not by the world. For the wisest man who ever lived proclaimed in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. To be truly wise is to follow Jesus. It is to submit to him even when his words don't make logical sense. Even when the outside world might mock you for believing in a six-day creation. For believing in a literal Adam, for believing that a man could be swallowed by a fish and survive for 3 days, for believing that someone could rise from the dead, for believing that bread and wine give us the forgiveness of sins, because they are also his body and blood. How this happens is outside of the wisest in our fallen world. And yet it is beautiful and true because God has proclaimed it. The wealth of the Gentiles would come. The multitudes around the Great Sea, the Middle Earth Sea, the Mediterranean, would gather around this new one, the eternal one. The one who has now come in the flesh. Christianity continues, not as a split off of the Old Testament, but as the continuation. For as they confessed the Christ, the Messiah who was to come, we confess the Christ, the Messiah who is come, Jesus. And he is the only hope of salvation. St. Paul would be raised up by God, a man who had originally breathed fire against the church, a man who consented and allowed cloaks to be laid down before him as they stoned Stephen to death for his proclamation of who God is. God would raise this Saul into Paul, and he would send him to all the communities around that great sea. And he would draw people to his name, to his word, to his church. They would become his children through the adoption of the word of God implanted to them by the waters of holy baptism and by faith. Those wise men in our gospel lesson seek out the king. You know about Herod and how wily he is, how he lies right there in our scriptures, that he says, I want to know where this child is. Come back and let me know so that I can go worship him as well. But on Sunday, December 28th, we heard of what he actually did as he ordered the slaughter of all those baby boys. But God preserved Jesus because it was not yet his time. Yes, he had come to die, but not until all things had been fulfilled. And so these wise men go. And God, whether it's a natural star set in the heavens at creation, whether it's an alignment of the planets as God had ordained them to be aligned that night, or whether it was an angel, it doesn't really matter. It is a light that shines where Jesus is. And they enter that house, and they worship him. They fall to their knees at the presence of this king who is just a baby. How wonderful it is that we get to be in his presence too. You followed that light here tonight. That light still shines because the darkness cannot comprehend it. It cannot overpower it. And that light is in each and every one of you. Every time you, as a wife, submit to your husband in the Lord, every time that you, as a husband, love your wife as Christ loves the church and willingly laid down his life for her, every time you, as a mother, teach Jesus loves me to your child, or nurse one of your children, or take care of one of your babies, every time you bring forth a home-cooked meal, not out of compulsion, not out of slavery, but out of joy that God has created you with the ability to bring that forth. Whether you as a father will lead your children in the faith, will protect your wife and children, will provide for said wife and children, whether God has given you the gift of celibacy, where you live out your life praising him and devote your life to pointing others to Jesus. Luther will talk about if you are a cobbler, that you produce a good shoe. Many of you are in multiple different trades. Do it to the best of your ability. Not to be praised by men, but to give glory to God. All of these ways that you live out your vocations give God the glory. They shine the light of Jesus. So yes, you should preach the gospel. That is, proclaim what Jesus Christ has done for you to others. You should draw people to church. You should invite them to come with you. You should pray every day and live out the life that God has made for you. This is the beautiful glory. When you as a Christian show Jesus to the world. This Epiphany, I want to close with a quotation from Luther's sermon on our epistle. He writes, "The true and proper Christian work is that we confess our sins and shame and preach only God's grace and work in us. No one who does not know God's grace and this light can preach God's praise and glory. No one can know God's grace if he still clings to his own light, works, behavior, and nature. For then he is and remains an old, blind, and dead Adam, who does not stand up to see this light, but only preaches his own praise. Proclaim God's praise, which without a doubt this light of grace and the gospel have taught you. The church sings. O morning star, how fair and bright, you shine with God's own truth and light, aglow with grace and mercy. Of Jacob's race, King David's son, our Lord and Master, you have won our hearts to serve you only. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, all victorious, rich in blessing, rule and might o'er all possessing. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.